This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew, and I'm Peter Scoop Stanton. All right, let's do the bad news first. It's been a rough week for law enforcement officers. First, we want to remember Correction Officer Joseph Gamm of the Minnesota Department of Corrections. His end of watch was July 18th, 2018. He was killed by a inmate with a hammer in a workshop. His killer's in custody. Also, Police Officer Bronson Kailua from the Hawaii County Police Department in Hawaii. His end of watch was July 18th, 2018. He was shot at a traffic stop. Suspect remains at large. And also, we want to remember Police Officer Michael Chesna of the I don't have the name of the police department, but it was a police department in Massachusetts near the Boston area. His end of watch was July 15, 2015. He was attacked by a rock, and he was shot with his own service weapon. Now, in this case of Officer Chesna, Patriots owner Robert Kraft went to the local police station to pay his respects, so kudos for Mr. Kraft. But anyways, we go from Officer Down to Chicago. Now, Sunday in Chicago, a gentleman named Harith Atticus, 37-year-old barber, was shot by police. Now, of course, black man, police, there's going to be issues, and there's going to be trouble. But here's the thing. The police walked up upon Mr. Augustus because supposedly he was selling loose cigarettes or loosies. Now, those who smoke or used to smoke know that Lucy cigarettes are, you sell them for a dollar from a package of 20 because the price of the cigarettes has gone up so much thanks to the taxation, not because anything changed in the making of tobacco into cigarette. That's how people make a little bit of money because people, especially in the inner city, can't afford to pay $12, $13 for a pack of smokes. So, allegedly, Mr. Atticus was selling loose cigarettes, and the police were called, and they saw noticed a bulge in his waistband. Now, anybody worth their weight in gold, worth their weight in law enforcement, know that a bulge of waistband means they have something they don't want to be known. So, as they approached him, luckily the cops were wearing a body cam, they were able to pull up his shirt, and he had a holster semi-automatic pistol on his right side, and he had an extra magazine on his left side. So something told me Mr. Atticus was not going to the local gun range to exercise the Second Amendment right. He started to resist being stopped by the officers. He started running. He lifted up his shirt, and you can see on video him reaching down towards the butt of his semi-automatic pistol. So Chicago police, fearing for their safety and the safety of other officers, decided to draw their weapons and fire upon Mr. Augustus, where he is no longer with us. But, of course, the usual suspects were protesting police shootings of Mr. Augustus. Usual suspects, the Al Sharpton types, the rabble-rousers. But, they made a big stink about a man with an unlicensed firearm attempting to draw down on uniform police, and there's absolutely no protest of the black-on-black killings that happen every day, every week, every month, every year in Chicago. Well, what's your opinion of issues in Chicago with the white police, black-armed suspect?
Well, you also being a former MOS in New York can understand also that I don't generally believe that there are white cops, black cops, green cops, yellow cops, orange cops. You know, they're all wearing blue. We're all part of a brotherhood, and, you know, you stand together, you know, when this stuff hits the fan. Now, if a police officer happens to be white and he's working in the hood, in the ghetto, hey, you know, it's going to happen. There's going to be, you know, a cop against a criminal that's from the hood, and it's going to be, you know, 90% of the time it's going to be a minority. I would imagine the only way to stop a white cop from shooting and killing a minority in the hood that has a gun or is doing something wrong, like trying to hurt the cop or kill somebody else, is to, let's get stupid about it and put all the white cops in the white neighborhoods and the black cops in the black neighborhoods, and we won't have that problem. I'm sure you won't hear anything about a black cop shooting a black kid or a black man or a black girl in the hood. So, you know, if the police department wants to get crazy, do that. But that's not going to happen because there is no white cop, black cop, orange cop, green cop, yellow cop. It's a guy in a blue uniform or a woman in a blue uniform. And that's how I look at it.
Let me interject a couple things. They did, different departments did try to do that, stating, you know, the people saying, well, you know, we want to be protected by people that look like us. Okay, not a problem. So they put the, I know this happened in Bridgeport because Jim Lancia talked about it. They put black cops in the black neighborhoods, and the black cops are saying, you know, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, I don't deserve, what did I do to deserve this? You know, this is racism because you're putting me in the neighborhood because I am black. So they had to kill that. And secondly, you do have law enforcement that do, first and foremost, they're whatever race they are. And then secondly, they are a officer of whatever department they're with. I mean, you had the Guardians, which is a black fraternal organization, Latino Officers Association. Then I know you had the Pulaski Society for NYPD, the Steuben Society with the NYPD, the Emerald Society for the every civil service agency in New York. So you do have those organizations. Now, I wasn't a member of the any of those organizations. That's because of my own personal choice. But you have some people that they're proud to be members of NYPD, and they're proud of where their heritage is from. Then on the flip side, you have other officers that they're first and foremost, they're black. And we're coming to our first break. We'll return to black cop, white cop, orange cop, yellow cop, green cop on the other end of this break. You're listening to 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we're back with 7-5 Radio. Now, before the break, we're talking about cops and the racial component and how they put race before the job. Now, while you and I and Jim Lancet didn't do that, I'm sure other members of your command didn't do that, and members of my command did not do that. However, if you remember back in the day, about 20 years ago, you had Eric Adams. He's the head of one of these blacks in law enforcement agencies, and he was very, very vocal against the NYPD in their treatment of people of color and the interactions with the New York's finest. Now, what got me is that here's a guy, he's a sworn member of the NYPD, making all these allegations, false, mostly false allegations, and accusing the NYPD of racism. And he's a member of the service, and the job didn't do anything about him. In fact, he got promoted, and which really, of course, I got a phone call of a solicitor. But anyways, the job did nothing about it. But if, you know, if I came out and was like, oh, Officer Stanton is on the political cesspool or something like that, I would have been hung and dried in front of Police Plaza. Do you have anything to add to that story?
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you take that oath, you know, to support, you know, the police department, and also to defend anybody and help anybody that you come in contact with, you know, when you're a police officer. I mean, that's what you do. You shouldn't have to see color. I mean, if you do see color, you know, you need to set that aside and do your job. And what you do on your own personal time is, you know, whatever the heck you want to do. I didn't see color. Like I said, it was, whoever was standing in front of me, if they were, an enemy or, you know, friend or foe, I didn't see color either way. I worked in the hood from day one, you know, and, did I ever, people asked me, did I ever pull my gun out? You know, when I was working in the hood, I said, yeah. I says, well, you know, it was two shootouts I got into with white people. So, you know, it's who's trying to hurt you is who you defend yourself against. And it doesn't matter what color they are, they're trying to hurt you. And if they're breaking the law, they're breaking the law. It just so happens these are cops in the hood, and most of the laws are broken by the people that live in these areas. And it's fact of life. They're not creating the situation so they can have a shootout with a minority. It's the way the situation is when they get there. The situation's been around 20 years before they were born, and it's still going on. And I don't think that cops really see, you know, black or white, you know, or yellow. They see a situation, and they handle it to the best of their ability. And there's always, you know, 20/20 hindsight. Well, he could have done this, he could have done that, you know, he could have tased them, he could have tackled them. Well, the thing in Staten Island, they tackled them, and the guy ended up dying. The one we're talking about today, he ran away and it appeared that he was going to pull his gun out, and he ended up dying. This is an everyday fact. All across the country, all around the world, this is happening. Police officers are doing their job. But it was just cigarettes and da-da-da. Hey, listen, look, if somebody calls and there's a complaint, they have to investigate it. If they don't, they're charged with official misconduct, and they could be suspended and on and on and on. So they took action. From what I understand about the situation, the action was justified. Whether he pulled the gun out all the way or not, he was reaching for it, had his hand on the butt of it. A logical person is going to be safe to assume that that gun is going to come out and it's going to be fired upon whoever is chasing him. And in this case, it was police officers. They opened fire and they controlled the situation. Done. Finished. Two things will happen. The guy will never sell cigarettes loose again, and he'll never have the opportunity to try to fire on police again. Done deal.
Exactly. And if people want to say that, oh, the cops are racist and this, that, and other thing, well, just look at the calls for service in a predominantly poor minority neighborhood versus a not so poor minority neighborhood. I mean, you work for NYPD, I work for NYPD, and they know if you went to Staten Island, that was known as a country club. Now, if you get sent to East New York, Brooklyn, or up in Harlem or the Bronx, you know, you're gonna put your time in. So that's just facts are facts. I mean, just look at the calls for service and number of arrests. I mean, if racist cops wanted to or they could, they say, man, I don't want to work in the damn hood. I want to go work Central Park or Staten Island. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Walter, but those who did have what they call a hook did get those cushy assignments, but most of the people, I know I wanted to go go running and gunning in the hood. I don't know about you back in the day, because when I started, Giuliani was mayor. When you started, who was it, Ed Koch? So things were a little bit different. You probably wanted to be a little more safer, but again, you went into the 70th precinct and did your job. I was in transit bureau of the NYPD. This is after the merge, and I did my job till we got till we're told that our service is no longer needed. But yeah. Anyways, Walt, anything else you want to finish before we move on to the next subject?
Just this, you know, God bless the brothers in blue, and you know, more power to them. Be careful. Try to get home with the same amount of holes that you went to work with. And because you never know when the last time you'll kiss your wife and kids, you don't know if that's going to be the last time or you're going to see them tomorrow. So be careful out there. The old saying, we'll always stand. It's a saying that goes like this. It's called, you know, do what you need to do. It's better to be trod by 12 than carried by 6.
Exactly. And we just read three more names that's going to be carried. And, you're going to see another thin blue line from the church to the cemetery. But you know, that's the profession we chose. It's not for everybody. But it's just made up of brave men and women, because you are going in harm's way, and you're just going to see just nothing but people at their worst, people that at the most desperate of times, and you got to go in and take the breadwinner to jail, and they're not gonna like that, or you got to separate families, or somebody was shot and they're sitting there bleeding, and you're trying to put something over the bullet hole wounds, and the family's screaming and they don't know what to do, and you're screaming for a bus to get to the scene. And mm-hmm. You know, and for me, you know, I had, this is way before phones. If I had to interact with somebody, it went from okay to not okay. Guess what? I had a couple hundred people watching, and thankfully there was no cell phones at the time. But you know, unfortunately, we give a show. Law enforcement gives a show to everybody because normal people don't see others put in handcuffs every single day unless they do the job of locking people up or putting restraints on people. But that's why, you know, car crashes, that's nothing on the highway. That gets people stop and slow down because they don't see car crashes every day. Whereas if you are in law enforcement, that's part of your job, especially if you're with a state police or a highway unit of a large metropolitan police department. You go, that's all you do is car crashes. But people got to slow down and look over and see what's, look at the blood and the guts and whatever, and then proceed. So we're advice, folks, if there's an accident, slow down. Don't be that jerk in front of me or Walter, slowing down, seeing what's going on, and trying to look at something. Because guess what? If you don't know the car, if you don't know the person, just keep it moving, because you're holding up progress. I'm trying to get to work. Walter's trying to get to work. We're trying to go about our business, you know. Stop being a looky-loo. All right, that's our second break. We're halfway done through this wonderful show we called 75 Radio. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Russia, the Trump campaign, and California made the news once again. This is 75 Radio with Walter Yucu and Peter Scoop Stanton.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
We'll be right back.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we're back with 7-5 Radio. Well, last week was the major summit between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, as Steven Seagal like to say. But anyways, everybody, their brother, is saying that Trump botched the summit when he said he believed Russia did not interfere with the 2016 election. Now, Vladimir Putin, I think, is the best at what he does. He's former KGB. He knows what's going on. He's also a great poker player. He's got that poker face. And if he says something, it may or may not be true, because he knows how to say it with so much conviction, unlike the Clintons, that they can't even tell the truth correctly. But anyways, all these armchair ambassadors and diplomats are saying that Trump botched it. But, I mean, what's Donald Trump supposed to do on the podium next to Vladimir Putin? Is he supposed to start turning to him, yelling and screaming, and turn into a cable news show of people just yelling at each other? But it's a summit. You're supposed to have some decorum. You're supposed to have protocol. But all the intelligence agencies have been going around saying that Trump, first he said he believed the intelligence community, and because so-called intelligence community said that Russia did interfere with the 2016 election. Now, I'm a big fan of our intelligence communities from reading Tom Clancy's novels from back in the day. But anyways, the so-called intelligence community has had a spotty record with they did not see the fall of the Soviet Union. They told us that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, when in fact they did not. They did not see 9/11 coming. And they are or were or currently spying on innocent American citizens without a warrant. And they mentioned nothing about Hillary Clinton and her connection to Russia and concerning Uranium One. And also, if you look at who's leading this Central Intelligence Agency, yeah, communist sympathizer and the seditious John Brennan leading CIA. Not to mention our intelligence community and our law enforcement agency is spying on Donald Trump. For what? I don't know. Trying to derail his campaign and his presidency. We saw that last week with Peter Strzok testifying before Congress, and nothing's going to be done with him. Nothing's going to be done with Lisa Page. Nothing's going to be done, period, because that's how Washington works. Well, what say you?
I think Mr. Trump is doing the right thing by standing next to Vladimir Putin and being civil and being a reasonable man and handling things in such a good manner. I'm not going to say politically correct, because we all know that Mr. Trump is not the politically correct kind of guy. He says what's on his mind, and he follows it up. And I think Mr. Putin, you know, understood that, you know, going into this meeting. You know, I'm sure he's had his little KGB agents, you know, study Mr. Trump and, you know, his likes, his dislikes, his quirks, you know, his secrets and stuff like that. I'm sure they have all this on each other, you know, but it goes both ways. And Mr. Trump has approached Mr. Putin just like he approached Korea and the Korean leaders. You know, he does it with dignity. He does it with diplomacy, not necessarily politically correct. Did Mr. Putin, or does he know of any kind of Russia influence in our election? Hey, listen, if there was, so what? I don't think that it had any kind of a substantial direction on the outcome of our election. You know, they can get on, anybody can create a Twitter account all across the world, and it could be anybody. I mean, I could do it to Russia. I'd create a Twitter account and get 5,000 people and say, let's start doing this at Russia, or let's start doing this in the Congo, or let's start doing this for France. You know, there's always going to be some type of influx of interference. Now, you know, in the words of Bill Clinton, you know, define interference. In his word, it was define alone, but I'm saying define interference.
Or define,
you know,
is.
What exactly are they, what exactly are the Democrats saying? What was the interference? You know, what was it? Collusion out the window, you know, gone dead issue. That's ridiculous. I don't think the Trump organization colluded to get rid of Hillary's campaign and vice versa. Hillary is the ones that was friends with Putin, like you said, with the uranium deal. Same thing with Obama. One of the reasons why Hillary never went up to Wisconsin or Michigan, because she thought she had it in the bag. And apparently she thought that Russia's interference back then was going to get her into the White House, and it didn't. Mr. Putin, I think, is a reasonable man. He's the leader of a world power. That's, you can't dispute that. And I don't think Mr. Putin wants to be sitting next to the button getting ready to press it, just as like Mr. Trump doesn't want to sit next to the button ready to press it, or any of their predecessors. This is something that has to be done. We have to have Russia. It doesn't have to be necessarily on our side, but they don't have to be an adversary all the time either. I think the two of them together are good. I think this isn't the only time that they're going to meet. They will meet again before 2020. I'm sure of it. And they will meet again after 2020. So I think it's a good thing for our country that Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin are in the same room and talking. And Mr. Trump is not whispering in his ear, knock it off, like Obama Mammy did that the last time he saw Putin. What was it, like in January of 17? He put his hands on his shoulders, and you could read his lips. He said, knock it off. Now, what's Mr. Putin going to do? You know, let's get the suit jackets off and slug it out. Now, Mr. Putin right. said you know, to himself, you're out of here. You know, I really don't care what you think, homie. You're done. We have a real man leading the United States. And I think there's going to be a lot more changes going on that the left is not going to like. It doesn't matter what, you know, if they went, you know, I know you are, but what am I kind of thing, like Pee Wee Herman at the podium, like a debate going back and forth. The left would have something to say about that. He's doing it with diplomacy. The left has something to say about that. So it doesn't matter how Mr. Trump handles it. There's always going to be criticism from the other side.
Right, right. And if you remember, Obama has sat down with somebody from Russia before 2012. He said, listen, after the election, I'll have more flexibility. Now, I'm curious to find out what he meant by more flexibility. That's number one. But number two, if you remember 35 years ago, during the height of the Cold War between President Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev, the media and the left was absolutely insane, saying Reagan's going to bring us a World War III, especially when he went to Brandenburg Gates right at the Berlin Wall, said Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And also, as a note, folks, Gorbachev was not at that meeting or that speech Reagan gave. He was back in Moscow, contrary to the popular belief. But everybody was afraid, oh, we got to make peace with Russia, make peace with Russia, make peace with Russia. You know, when Reagan was in office, nothing was said when Clinton was in office or Obama was in office. But now Trump's in office. It looks like he's trying to make peace. And now everybody's banging the war drums. I mean, my question is, you know, if it's whoever's in power, Republican or Democrat, if we gotta go to war, are you sending your sons and daughters? But that's what they do. It's just total hypocrisy day in, day out. And like Chris Plant says, if it wasn't for double standards, the left would have no standards whatsoever. But I'm very interested to see what's going on, what will happen down the road with the U.S. and Russia. I mean, hell, Trump might be trying to work out a trade deal because he's trying to, you know, he's putting America first, unlike his predecessor that put the world first, and then America second. We're stuck with a bill. But, you know, Putin's very good at playing cards with a poker face. Also, Trump's very good at playing cards because, remember, Trump built real estate on Manhattan Island. So he'd had to deal with the city, all the city regulators, city inspectors, the state inspectors from the state of New York, because it's hard to do business, all the unions, the labor unions, all the contractors. He had to deal with the organized crimes. Like, oh, you want cement? You know, it's going to cost you this much. Oh, you want the, you need your dumpsters taken out? It's going to cost this much. But anyways, we're coming upon our last break on 7-5 Radio. We'll talk about the Trump campaign, California, and whatever else we have in the bag. This is 7-5 Radio on Liberty News Radio.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to hear
that.
So since
you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we're back on 7-5 Radio, and the hits just keep on coming. But Walt, I found a very interesting on YouTube this morning. The Trump campaign released their 2020 campaign ad, and it is just really memorizing, because you saw everything that Trump's doing or trying to do, you know, people trying to go back to work, strong military. You saw him at a this past police week, give a memorial, place a rose at the memorial. rallies. People are just happy, waving Trump signs. Anyways, his new campaign slogan is Keep America Great. Now, it's not Make America Great Again, because I guess in the eyes of the Trump campaign, he did make America great again, but he wants to keep America great. Now, I think it's a great campaign slogan, but you know, he's got a little bit more work to do. We're just $17 trillion in debt. Hillary Clinton and the deep state, they're still running around free. The FBI is a mess. But overall, I think it's a great slogan, and you know, everybody outside the Beltway, outside of Manhattan Island, and outside the state of California will probably start wearing Keep America Great hats. What say you about keeping America great?
I think he needs to establish that this is the road we're going to be on for at least the next 12 years, 14 years. I do believe we'll have a Republican candidate in 2024. I do believe we'll have a Republican president elected in 2024 and 2028. So Mr. Trump is establishing the ground rules. He's building that foundation, and he's building it very, very strong, because when you have a strong foundation, you have a sound structure, and it lasts a long time. Mr. Reagan, that we talked about earlier in the show, he set the cornerstone for foundation and solid structures, and they stood pretty strong until around 2008, and we know what happened to the infrastructure of Mr. Reagan's foundation building. It just pretty much got destroyed.
Right.
The heavy knocked all the stuff down.
Right, but unfortunately, in '89, when Reagan left office, then you had George H.W. Bush, and you know, it started right there. You know, what do you say, a new world order? Come on now, and then like no new taxes. Guess what? And you raise taxes. So, I mean, George H.W. Bush was no conservative. George Bush was, I'd say, he was a cuckservative. But now, you know, Donald Trump, you know, he's been switching parties left and right for 20 years for, you know, to help the Trump business. You know, we could see he's definitely conservative, because for the most part, if the State of the Union speech, I like the fact he brought up federal Family Leave Act. I think that's just between a employer and an employee, you know. But with this economy, you know, it's going to behoove employers to let employees know, like, hey, you can take paid family leave as a benefit of working at this company. But
yeah,
you know, I do plan on supporting Trump in 2020, because let's, you know, I'll never vote Democrat again unless it's like a Zell Miller from Georgia, who he was famous for speaking at the Republican convention in 2004 in New York. Why he left the he said the Democrat Party left him, and he didn't leave it. So he was the first person in the hashtag walk away movement, even before the birth of Twitter. But anyways, speaking of Trump and the state of the country, California made the news. The state Supreme Court said that ballot number 9 is unconstitutional. What happened is that a ballot measure was proposed. It was going to be on the November ballot to split California into three states. You'd have Northern California, California, and then Southern California. And of course, the California Supreme Court said that was they shot it down because, quote, significant questions have been raised regarding the proposition's validity. Well, the people of California, they want to split it up into three states. You're going to have Northern California, which, believe it or not, is, you know, north of San Francisco, is very, very conservative and very, very rural. Then you have Southern California, which is San Diego, Riverside County area, which I'd say moderate, because you have, you know, liberals and conservatives down there. Then you have California, which is L.A. County and that whole West Coast highway area. But I think that the reason why the state Supreme Court shot it down was because if they split up the three states, then California, you know, the LA, California, they'd lose a whole bunch of federal money because based on population. So then they couldn't fund the welfare programs, number one. Number two, they'd lose a whole bunch of seats in Congress because now you have three states instead of just one big state, you know, then they couldn't go around saying they're the most populated county state. And number four, if you have like just California broken up in three states, then they can't support the welfare programs from Northern California or Southern California. So I think I wouldn't be too surprised if the Democrat Party called up a couple of the justices on the state Supreme Court and said, hey, listen, if you break it up, then, you know, y'all going to be out of work and we're not going to get all this federal money and all the suckers that work for a living. They can't pay for all the illegal alien voters that's coming in that we got to feed, shelter, clothe, and educate. And then, from the time they get here to the time they we put them in the ground. And then, you know, we lose out on millions of voters. So you think it's a good idea or a bad idea that California is broken up into three?
I don't know, man. I just bought four new flags. You know, I got one around the pool. I got, you know, two small ones I bought over the 4th of July. And I got a new flag for the front of my house on the flagpole. So, you know, am I going to go out there and add two more stars to my flags because California wants to have two more states? Hell no. I don't think it's a ploy for the conservatives to what do they call, stuff the ballot box, so to speak.
Right, or you gerrymandering, because then if...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's another thing. California would lose electoral votes. So you got the whole San Francisco to Los Angeles connection. Most of the state living right in that general vicinity. So guess what? They couldn't all, you know, send all their electoral votes to the Democratic candidate. You know, then, you know, the Republican and Democrat candidate will have to go out there, because like New York and Illinois is blue and blue as can be. So my parents, they still live in New York, and they said that they didn't see any campaign ads or nothing from either party because they both wrote them off. Hillary wrote it as a New York as a win, and Trump wrote it off. You know, why even bother? So, but then in Virginia, where I live, unfortunately, it's, you know, left and right. You know, it's still a toss-up state, but it's going more and more blue, unfortunately, because everybody from the Northeast is coming down to Virginia in the Washington, D.C. area for work because they voted themselves out of a job from years ago. So,
if California gets permission, and I don't know how you'd go about it, I don't know if it's a Supreme Court thing or whatever the heck, Congress, you know, if they push it through and they divide into, you know, three separate states, you know, first California, then New York is going to want to do it, you know, and then, you know, there's going to be North Carolina, South Carolina, and Middle Carolina, and North Dakota, and South Dakota, and Middle Dakota. You know, we're going to be creating a new nation within a nation. You know, what we have now certainly isn't fixed, but it's not totally broke either. Trying to fix something that's not totally broke is going to just destroy things. I don't see it happening. And I don't see it happening anytime soon. I hope it doesn't happen in my son's lifetime or his son's lifetime. It's been semi-broke, semi-fixed for 42 years now. And listen, just because they don't like one man and his family that is running the show right now, it's not desperation isn't the word I'm looking for. Dramatic, maybe. They want to be dramatic about it. Oh, my God, he's doing this. Oh, my God, he's doing that. You know, you got Pelosi screaming in one ear, and you got Chucky Boy in the other. There's another one in the book. Everybody out there, we're on Twitter at 75 Radio 1. On my Twitter account,
at gmail@zip5radio.wordpress.com.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.